May I move the pulpit? Somebody has told me this morning after the first service that I should get a life insurance because I almost fell in the stairs moving this pulpit during this first service. It's a joy to see these young people leading worship, no? And it's a joy if you are the parents of these children, then you must praise God because your children are walking in the Lord. Do you feel loved by God? I mean, is God's love real to you? How real is His love to you? The more I grow in years, I'm not too old yet, but my life is becoming more fulfilled now because then I have become a grandfather. My son's wife in Geneva just gave birth 45 days ago. And as I cuddled my granddaughter, I realized, Lord, I'm so privileged because not everybody's given the privilege of becoming a grandparent. Is that so? But yes, I'm older, but it's another stage in life. And every day, as you go from one stage to another, I realize that it's only by grace that we experience all these things. Well, we read the text this morning. Is that on? We read Romans 8, 35 to 39, and it talks about God's love. Can you put it back to the first, to the very first one, please? And I was looking at the text, and if there is one word that would describe God's love, as I was reading verse 38 and 39, I would say the word is relentless. God's relentless love. What happened? That's a technical problem. God's relentless love, because as I read it, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creations will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, as I looked at the meaning of the word relentless, it has everything in it. It's never ending. It's unabating. It's indefatigable. It's incessant. It's never stopping. God's love for us never ends. It never gets tired. Hindi nagsasawa. It never, come to a point where, it will stop and it would never stop because God's love is relentless. It is relentless. And so, have you ever asked God this question? With all the billions of people in the world, Lord, why me? Why choose me? Why am I the person chosen by you to stay and to live with you forever and ever? Especially for me. I was asking God because special for me, I am never worthy of it. I'm never worthy of God's love. I'm never worthy of God's calling. Me, as I have said this morning, I was a gambler even before I started schooling. I learned mahjong at the age of 6, as I've mentioned before. I became a drunkard when I was in high school. You name the vice, I had it. I was a womanizer when I was very young. When I was in Cotabato City, 1980 to 1982, I had 5 girlfriends all at the same time. I thought I had this crooked understanding of what greatness was. And I thought that for you to be a great lover, you need as many women as you can have. That's what I thought. It's crooked. And then when I became a Christian, I realized that greatness is not about having as many women because that's not difficult to do. If you try to court 100 women, you know, at least there will be one or two who will mistakenly accept you. And they realize that greatness, being a great lover, is being able to satisfy one woman in your life and being able to be satisfied with just one woman the rest of your life. That is greatness, because that is not easy. And it's only possible through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has changed me, because since I became a Christian, I only had one girlfriend, who is now my ex. Because she now is my wife. And Paul said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. To shame the strong. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much, for your love is really relentless. We thank you so much, God, that you never get tired of us. Lord, you have saved us. You have called us. You made us your children. You blessed us, oh God. I'm not only worthy of your redemptive act. I'm not only worthy of your love. I'm not worthy to be called by you and to be entrusted with this enormous responsibility of leading your church, oh God. Leading the church of 850. Lord, I am not worthy of anything like that. But thank you because of your grace. Thank you because of your love. We want to give you back all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've said before, a while ago, God's relentless love to me is becoming more real every day. And I think God's relentless love is manifested through His Son. It is manifested through His Son. And I think the only way for us to understand God's love is by looking at what Christ has done on the cross. And the Bible is very clear. It says there in Romans 5:7-9, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then in Romans 8:31-32, sorry for the mistake, it says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? God so loved us that He made everything available for us. I was reading at the account of creation when God created everything. And He did not create human beings. He did not create Adam until the world was prepared for him. He loved us so much that when we were born, we were already loved. We were already cared for. We were born into loving parents, and we were into a network of relationship. And it never stops. It never ends. And it says, He did not even spare His own Son. He gave us all. And He would continue to give us all so graciously. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in Christ. And then 1 Timothy 1:9, He has saved us and called us to holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Jesus saved us from eternal damnation. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? I think my understanding is this. We can only appreciate our redemption if we understand hell. I will repeat that. We can only appreciate our redemption if we understand hell. Because by then we will understand where or what Christ has redeemed us from. You know, I was cooking yesterday, and in the process, I got a burn. I burnt my finger. It was so painful. So painful that for an hour, I think I was suffering the pain. But it was only for an hour. My father died of cancer long time ago in 1984 because of smoking. He started smoking at the age of 17 and quit smoking at the age of 65. And by then, it was already too late. And he suffered for 2 years of cancer, tongue cancer, and he could not eat. He was always in pain. And at one point in time, I asked him something. I said, Tatay, I called him Tatay, how painful is your cancer? And he said, if you get a burning charcoal, put it in your skin, and you feel the pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I said, wow. But see, it was so painful, but it's only part of his body. And after 2 years, he died. And I know, and I'm sure that he went up to heaven with Christ. Hell is something that will never end. Hell is a never-ending suffering for all throughout eternity. And the Bible has a vivid description of what hell is. Luke 16 and 22. And following, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and he was buried in hell where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. I am in agony in this fire. And then, in Matthew 13, 49 to 50, it says, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then, Revelations 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever. The problem with hell is, it's the whole body, it's the whole of us being burnt every day, every single moment, but it's never ending, and we are never consumed. But how long? How long is forever and ever? How long is eternity? Well, I like the description of one writer when he said, if you look at a big mountain, and for Canada, I think it's Mount Logan, right? That's according to my research. It's 5,850 feet. And he said, if you have a hummingbird, which is a very small bird, that would take one rack, one stone from Mount Logan once a year. So this year it would come to Mount Logan, take a rack, put it in another place, transfer it. Another year, another small piece of rack, transfer it to another place. Another year, another bird, get another rack, transfer it to another place. And year after year, it would do that. And the writer said, when Mount Logan is finally transferred, eternity has just begun. And if you are not in Christ, we will suffer all throughout eternity, according to the Bible. So Jesus has saved us from where? From eternal suffering. And how did he do that? By taking on the punishment we rightly deserve. Instead of me dying on the cross, he died for me. And just by having faith in him and giving our life to him, he has transferred us from eternal damnation to eternal glory. And he says, for you know that it was not with perishable things as a silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed to you, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. God's love is manifested through his Son. Second, God's love can never be taken away from us. And that's what the Bible says. Romans 8:30-35, as we have read it, it says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or nakedness or danger or sword? And Paul said, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He says, no, not hardship. And the good thing about it is, because of God's love, I realize and we know that He doesn't give us unique trials beyond our capacity. This is my favorite verse. I have memorized this verse since I became a Christian. And it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, if you will look at the word temptation there, the original word for temptation can either be translated as temptation or trial. And so you can even read it as, there's no trial which has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you can bear. And when you are tried, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, think with me. What's the most difficult thing that ever happened to you? What's the greatest trial that ever happened or that has ever come our way? Think of the most difficult one. Can you say to me, can you say to us, that with all honesty, you are the only person who has experienced such kind of trial? And I can guarantee you, no. Because other people has even suffered more difficult trials than what you have suffered. So the Bible is very true. The Bible is very true. And have you overcome those trials? Were you able to bear all the trials that have come your way? Well, the fact that you are here, the fact that you are praising God, the fact that you are alive, the fact that you are continuously doing the things that you need to do is a proof that God has never given you, has allowed anything that come your way that is beyond your capacity to endure. And the truth remains that He will always provide a way out so that we can endure under it. In my 34 years of Christian life, I realized this, that everything that happens to us happens because God allows it to happen. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in providence. Everything that happens is providential. God allows it to happen. But not only that, God allows it to happen for a reason. And that reason is for our own good. It might not be good at the point where you are suffering, but I believe in what the Bible says. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So I will repeat it. Everything that happens to us happens because the Lord allows it to happen. And God allows it to happen for a purpose. And that purpose ultimately is for our own good. Our relationship with God goes beyond our situation in life. It goes beyond our situation in life. I'm a teacher of evangelism explosion, and this is the things that we teach people when we, you know, give training in evangelism explosions. Here in North America, when we shake hands like this. But there is what we call the Roman handshake, where they shake like that. Shake hands like this. And the beauty of it is this. This is a good picture of what happened when we give our life to Christ, where we hold on to Christ and Christ hold on to us. And along the way, there are times that we feel away from God because of difficulties in life, because of problems, emotional distress, because we fall into sin and all these things. And we feel like we are far away from God. But we sometimes fail to realize the fact that it's not only us holding on to God, but God is holding on to us. And according to Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. An old poem. This is an old poem. I don't know who's the author, but it gives a clear picture of how God loves us. It says, Lord, during the good times in life, I look back and I saw two sets of footprints. But Lord, what happened? Why is it that during the lowest moment of my life, and I look back and I saw only one set of footprints? And the Lord said, yeah, that is true. Because during the lowest moment of your life, it was then that I was carrying you. That's very true. Because God's presence is clearer and more felt when we are down and we are at the lowest moment. God will never leave us nor forsake us. For I am convinced that neither life, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither the present nor the future. One thing I'm convinced is the fact that our salvation does not depend on what we do or what we do not do, but on what Christ has done on the cross. Remember Judas and Peter? What's the difference between the sin of Judas and Peter? What did Judas do? He sold Christ in exchange for 30 pieces of silver. What did Peter do? He sold Christ in exchange for his life. Out of fear for his life, he denied Christ not once, not twice, but three times. What's the difference? Well, Judas was remorseful. He was sorry, but he was not repentant. He felt sorry and he killed himself. What did Peter do? He repented and went back to God. But as I was reading this account, when I was reading the Last Supper, and when Christ said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like a wheat. But when you return, the Lord said, when you return. And so the Lord, even before Peter committed that sin, or he was tried, the Lord was already waiting for Peter's return. And Peter said, Lord, I will give my life to you. And the Lord Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And it happened. But what's the point? My point is this. As I was reading it, I realized the Lord has already forgiven Peter before he even committed that sin. And that is how God loves us. Not the things that we do can separate us from the love of God, because our salvation does not depend on the things or what we do or what we do not do. It depends on what Christ has done on the cross. But what does it mean? Does it give us the permission to live in sin? Of course, definitely not, because we are dead to sin according to Romans 6:1-4. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, because we have become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The new has come. And we are transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit. So it is not giving us the permission, but it is giving us the assurance that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is God's love. It's relentless. God's love is manifested through His Son, and God's love can never be taken away from us. But not only that, God's love will bring us to everlasting joy. Excuse me. Of course, it was His death that has saved us. But not only did God take us away from eternal suffering, God's love is bringing us to eternal glory. And Romans 8:18-21 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. God's love has given us the hope. And what is that hope? Our greatest hope, of course, is heaven, the eternal glory. And this is where we are going to spend our eternity with God. And this is true. This is not just, you know, something that is in our mind. It's not a false hope. It's a place to go. And Paul was even giving, has given a testimony of what is to come. And he said in 2 Corinthians 12:2-4, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. And what is that place that awaits us? What is that heaven that awaits us? And it was described in Revelation 21:18-21. It says, the wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. Of course, I'm not a woman. I'm not so familiar with all those kinds of stones. So I look at the internet and I realize and I found out these are the things that are being mentioned there. This is the place that awaits all of us that are in Christ. Jasper. These are just the walls. Sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, and amethyst. Just the walls. What else? And it says there, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. Who wants to wear that kind of pearl? The one that can close gates. This is the biggest pearl that was found in Palawan, and probably the biggest pearl in the world so far. It's 34 kilograms. And I think they're saying that if any woman can wear it for 24 hours without taking it from the necklace of the neck, it will be given for free. But see, this is nothing in comparison to the gates. This is the thing that awaits us because of what Christ has done. The culmination of God's love. The thing to come. And Revelation 21:1-2 says that I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And this is my most favorite verse. And He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We just prayed for many people who are sick. We are in a kind of life where we cannot prevent dying or death. We cannot prevent getting old. I could feel that. I told you, when you reach the age of 40, you start getting pain. When you reach the age of 50, the pain doesn't leave you anymore. It goes from one place to another, from one part of your body to another. When you reach the age of 60, they all come together. It is reality. But you know what? Because of what Christ has done for you and for me, there will come a time when He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God's love is relentless. It is relentless. It never stops. And God's love is manifested through His Son. And this love can never be taken away from us. But this love, because of what He has done on the cross, will bring us to everlasting joy. This is the love that is available for you and for me. And this love is available every day, every moment of our life. And the problem is sometimes we take this love for granted. Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you, this is what God's love is for you and for me. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much for today, and thank You, Lord, for Your message and for Your encouragement, and for the fact, Lord, that He loves us so much. And Your love is never stopping. Lord, words are not enough to thank You for Your love. But Lord, help us to always be aware of that, to always remember that, to be thankful of that, O Lord, and to be appreciative of the things that You are doing for each and every one of us, so that all the more we will walk according to Your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.